to Books and Wine, the podcast. I know I've been lost for a minute, but we're back, and I'm so happy that we are back with someone extremely, extremely special in the wine space in Nairobi, in Kenya, and who we've collaborated on a couple of times, and she's my wine sister, if I can put it like that. So I'll let you introduce yourself.
Okay.
So tell us.
I hope my voice is good enough. Okay, so my name is Rahab Mwangi, famously known as Women Who Wine.
Exactly. Yes. I wanted that to come out for you.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So every time I say I'm Rahab Mwangi, they're like, oh, Women Who Wine. Yes. Yeah. So Women Who Wine, basically. Yeah. So wine, certified wine lover.
Yay.
Yeah. So I run a social network of women who, okay, not just women, because okay, this one will get me in a lot of trouble because yeah. I have so many male friends who come for my events.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a network of people who love wine, so basically yeah. wine lovers who yeah. come together in events curated by me,
yeah,
in partnership with different wine suppliers, wine importers.
Yeah.
Yeah, we try and make wine fun. I believe wine should not be snobbish.
Yeah.
Wine should not be complicated. I know
yes.
some people make wine complicated.
Yeah.
So for me, my biggest goal is to make wine approachable and nice. Fun.
And I think you do a really good job of that.
Thank you.
I see that you... Okay, first of all,
yes.
Karibu.
Asante.
The podcast.
Yes. It's been a long time coming.
I know, we've been planning for a long, long time.
Yes.
But you're a busy person and I try to stay busy sometimes. So, you know, things get in the way.
Yes.
But I guess this was the right time for...
It didn't happen at the right time.
I know, right?
Yes.
And I'm glad we're here. So first of all,
mm-hmm.
Rahab.
Yes.
Who? Well, let me not say who is Rahab. Let's just get into the wine bit.
Yes. I think my life is not that is as interesting as it is when it comes to wine.
We met in a wine setting.
Yes. Yes.
I think I did. Did I DM you?
Yes.
I must have DM'd you.
You DM'd me and I came and hosted one of your Books and Wine events.
Yes.
Yes, at Trademark.
At Trademark Hotel.
Yes.
That must be maybe like 2 years ago.
Wow, 2 years ago,
so that's the first time we met in person. But
yeah.
I've been seeing what you're doing and I was like, wow, this girl is, she's doing things.
Thank you.
And it's been great since then.
Yes.
But I'm curious to know, like, how did you get interested in wine? How did you... Yeah, like what are some of your earliest wine memories?
Oh,
I hope they're legal.
Yes.
Or rather you are of a legal age.
Okay, we are going to skip the part where, you know, we used to sneak in a drink here and there when we were not legal. But
yeah.
Yes. So my love for wine is because, okay, I kind of grew up around wine.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm around wine lovers.
Yeah.
So wine was my first drink of choice.
Oh, nice.
I think I had no choice. I just had to lean more towards wine. But of course, you know, when you go to campus and you're rioting and you're having, you know, your whiskey, your shots, those days of Zappa and...
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Zappa on fire. Yes. But well, in my 20s, I kind of went back now to drinking wine officially.
Yeah. Mm.
So, and since then, I've always been curious about wine and, you know, what makes wine special? What makes wine... Because I don't know if you also feel the same way. Like every time you drink wine, it's
yeah.
like every wine has a story.
True, true, true.
Every like even the bottle we're having now, it's like, I mean, from the look of the bottle,
yeah.
from the taste, and it really, how can I put it, like sparked something in me.
Yeah.
And over the years, I've always been keen on learning more about wine.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until COVID happened that
yeah.
I decided, you know what, Women Who Wine should actually happen now.
Oh, yes. You don't say.
Yes.
Okay, for context, for the listener, we are drinking rosé.
Yes.
It's such a gorgeous rosé. A sparkling rosé, Annabelle Cuvée rosé.
Yes.
And it's such a nice, pretty, pretty floral
yes.
bottle.
Yes.
And it's my first time drinking this particular wine. So, but I feel it's so appropriate for the moment, right?
Oh, yes, it is. It's like a celebratory. drink.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when COVID,
you're saying COVID happened.
Yes.
And
so when COVID happened, yeah. I remember, so guys would come, especially my friends, they'd be like, you know what, we are so bored. Can we do something fun? So we started doing picnics with my friends. So they're like, okay, bring the wine, we'll pay you.
Yeah. Oh, I remember yes. There's a time you had like a picnic, a bottomless.
Yes.
Was it sangria or yes. something like that?
Yes. So yeah. That was actually the first one I did, but mostly it was with my friends.
Mm-hmm.
So my friends would come, I do the charcuterie, I do a proper setup, I bring the wines and people pay. But yeah. Those are just my friends.
Yeah.
So I realized, you know what, I can actually monetize this and make it a thing.
Yeah.
Why not? So I think it was 2020 when I did my first event.
Yeah.
With Sylvia Lika Library.
Yeah.
She was the first person who ever saw and believed in my dream.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she gave me her space. At that time, she was on Kiambu Road.
Yeah.
So she gave me her space. She had a really nice, beautiful, beautiful tasting room.
Yeah.
So she gave me her space free of charge. She told me, you do your thing. For wow. as long as you want. Even when I started YouTube, I used to shoot at her space.
Oh, nice.
Yes. She used to push me a lot. Like, you know, do this. Do your thing. I'm here. I'm great. Cheering you on
yeah.
and all that. So, yeah, we started doing at Lika Library. Then now other people started seeing what I'm doing. And they're like, you know, come to my space.
Yeah.
Bring women who wine. Come curate something. We'll offer the space.
Yeah.
Maybe buy things. And you can maybe bring the wines.
Yeah.
And that's how I started now working with now different importers and different restaurants. And premises. It's not just restaurants only.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I see like you have a very busy calendar.
Oh my gosh, yes.
There's sushi, wine, there's pizza, there's...
Yes.
How do you come about like your inspiration for like how you curate?
Okay, so like
the various events.
So like I said, I try to make wine very fun, mm-hmm. very relatable and approachable. So every time people think about wine, they always think about cheese.
Yeah.
Or very fine dining. Right?
Yes.
So for me, I try to make it, you know, show you different ways how you can enjoy your wine. You can have your wine with sushi. You can have your wine with pizza.
Yeah.
You can have your wine with burgers. You can even have it with your nyama choma there at your local joint there.
And you
it's
should.
Not, yeah, it's not always beer and nyama choma.
Yeah.
You can still have your wine and your nyama choma. So it's just give people different experiences.
Mm.
We can't always be doing all the time wine and cheese, wine and cheese, wine and cheese. There's
mm.
so many other ways to pair wine. And they always say wine is the perfect pairing for food. Literally any food.
Yeah. I mean, even Jesus.
Even your githeri at home.
Jesus made water into.
Exactly.
Not into whiskey.
Yeah. By the way, there's a reason why.
Made water into wine.
Yes, there's a reason why.
It's a perfect celebration.
Yes.
I mean, for
yes.
every occasion.
Yes.
But I heard you say something in your introduction.
Yes.
You know, certified wine lover.
Yes.
So that brings me to the question that, you know, you're not just a wine lover, but you're someone that's
yes.
gone into study about
yes.
wine,
yes.
get some certification. Like, what is that? What does that look like?
Okay, so I'm going to say you don't have to be certified to
mm-hmm.
be a wine connoisseur or be a wine lover. I believe you learn about wine every time you drink wine.
Mm-hmm.
Going to school, we read all these books. We know you do your WSET, you do your Wines of South Africa, you do your... There's something I'm trying to do, but I'm not going to say now.
Yeah.
So there's another certification I'm trying to get.
Yeah.
So there are all these certifications you can get. But if you're not... It's practical.
Mm. If you're not interacting,
you can practice what you... You yeah. have to practice what you're reading.
Yes.
So if you, the more you interact with wine, the more you learn. I'll give an example of you. You know your wine. You have not gone to school, right?
Yeah.
It's just...
Well, not for wine.
Yes, not for... I mean, yeah. Oh, sorry. Yes,
should have made that clear, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
Or so, formal school, because I think
yes.
we learn in very different ways
yes.
and different platforms. Yeah,
it's just like even whiskey connoisseurs. You just it's something you learn over time. The more you interact with it, the more you learn.
Mm-hmm.
But for us, for most of us, for what we do, you have to get that certification. It makes you credible.
It's true.
Yes, so you can't approach people you want to work with them, and you don't have any certification. So
yeah.
that really comes in handy. But for the people out there and you really want to learn about wine and you want to know about wine, you can still do your WSET, you can do your Wines of South Africa. Most of these courses are available online.
Yeah.
You can sign up and do them just for your own sake. You don't even have to become a sommelier
yeah.
or work in the wine space.
Yeah.
It's just for you to know, you know, what to buy, how to buy wine.
Yeah.
If you're a collector, how do you start investing in wine? You don't want to start investing in the wrong.
It's true.
You don't
yeah.
be buying the wrong wines.
Yeah.
Yes. So it's the... Courses are not expensive, yeah. So you can just do the most basic ones.
Mm.
Yes,
or go to women who wine events.
Or you can come to my events.
You get to learn about wine. Or go to books and wine events.
Yes.
And get to interact with wine.
Yes.
But why women? I know you are already giving a disclaimer earlier about that.
I've gotten a bit of backlash
but
from
there must have been like an inspiration.
Yes.
Why you were like, okay, specifically let me talk to women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so when I started Women Who Wine, basically when I started doing the small events, it was usually women. Mm. And I realized, you know, we always say women and wine. I mean, every time we think about wine, we always think about women.
Especially here.
Yes.
Or rather in Nairobi.
Yes, especially in Kenya, yes.
It's a very feminized with African women, drink.
With African men, I don't know, they have this toxic masculinity where, okay, not all of them, there are people who enjoy their wine, but there are people who would rather be dead than be seen holding a glass of wine in public.
Yeah.
Yes. But
which is like a misconception. Because
a misconception. Because even women drink whiskey. You can't say whiskey is a man's drink.
It's
you know,
true.
Anybody can drink wine. Anybody can drink whiskey.
Drink whatever.
But you know now, ironically, if you go back to the Roman times, women are not allowed to drink wine. So wine was a man's drink.
Okay.
Yes.
Patriarchy.
Yes. So what happened is, I always say, I feel like men hated women at that time. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe they still do. okay, that's debatable.
Just now they're being called out for discrimination. Yeah, but if you look at a lot of things, they were not inspired by love.
No. Most of them were inspired by their dislike for women.
Mm.
So now, during those days, they didn't know how to treat water. These are things now we've learned with technology. How do you treat your water, make it safe for drinking?
Yeah.
Back then, they didn't know how to treat water.
There's no chlorine.
Yes.
And if you don't live in a spring, somewhere where like there's fresh water. Yeah.
Yes. So they started getting sick. Typhoid, cholera, all those water-related diseases.
Yeah.
But they didn't know how. They didn't know it. At some point, they didn't know it was the water causing it. When they discovered it was the water causing it, they stopped drinking water.
Yeah.
So to quench their thirst, they used to drink wine.
Wow.
But now you're not gonna call it wine. You're gonna call it fermented fruit juice.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's wine like wine as we know it today.
Yeah.
But we say it's wine in the olden days. Whatever they referred to as wine.
Yeah.
So they used to drink wine to quench their thirst. And they realized every time they drink wine, they never got sick.
Mm.
So they said, no, to quench your thirst, just drink wine. But now, you remember, women are not supposed to drink the wine.
Yeah.
So women should still continue drinking the water that is contaminated. So it was so bad to the point where women used to be beheaded. If a man finds you drinking wine, you get beheaded. And then the man will carry your head like a trophy.
Wow.
You watch those medieval movies.
Yeah.
They're so violent and so...
And then your head is put on a stick in the town square so that everyone can see, be an example.
And the men will celebrate and say, you know what, she's an outcast. She broke the rules.
Yeah.
She deserved to die. And they'll celebrate by drinking more wine.
And if you think, like of so many things that, you know, have been denied women.
Yes.
And including having a bank account.
Going to hospital.
Owning land.
Working.
They're
all things that are beneficial to women. But they feel like if we give them this, it's like we're empowering them.
Yeah.
So now, I can't imagine having, you know, the women who used to live, you know, who survived that era. I mean, hats off to them.
I mean,
they really did
so
well.
So for you, it's sort of a reclamation of that power.
Yes. So for me, Women Who Wine was kind of like paying homage.
Yeah.
To the women who, you know, who died.
Yeah.
Drinking this, drink we love so much.
Yeah.
You know,
who are forbidden.
Yeah, we're kind of honoring them. And, you know, it's showing that, you know, we've come so far as women.
Yeah.
To the point where now a woman can just, you know, drink at your own pleasure. No one is going to ask you questions.
Yeah.
So long as you're of legal age.
Yeah.
No one is going to come and say, you know what, women are not supposed to be drinking. Or women are not supposed to be in this premise.
If
it's a drinking, if it's like a bar or a restaurant or, you know, all that. So yeah, we've come a long way, and for me, Women Who Wine is a celebration of that.
Yay!
Yes, power to us.
Power to us.
Yeah. So that's the whole concept of Women Who Wine, and also the fact that, you know, women love wine. So every time we think about wine, it's always about women.
Yay!
Yes.
I'm very, as somebody who works with people.
Yes.
A curator for events.
Yes.
Interacting with people. I'm always amazed at, you know, like the very, how gratifying that work can be.
Yes, it is.
But I just want to hear it from you that, you know, like what are some of your highlights when you curate these events? What are some of the moments when you're like, I'm doing the right thing?
Oh, wow. Yeah. For me, it's always, you know, sometimes you find people who come and they have no idea, no clue.
Yeah.
What wine is all about. And every time they come and you know, by the time they're leaving that space, you can tell they're actually, you know, they're, you know, I always say I convert people into
wine.
It's like, yeah, someone said I'm like a cult leader. You have a cult of wine lovers.
Yeah.
So yeah, so I always love it when I see people appreciate wine,
mm-hmm.
and love it for what it is. Because, you know, we have this, especially Kenyans, we have this misconception that wine is cheap. Wine is, you know, wine is basic.
Yeah.
So people see you drinking wine and they're like, wow, of all the things you can drink. I had an encounter many years ago with a guy who found me drinking wine somewhere.
Yeah.
And I was like, a bit woman like you should not be drinking cheap alcohol. So I was like, what is cheap alcohol?
Wow.
So he said, you know what, you should be drinking whiskey. And he offered to buy a very expensive whiskey.
Whiskey bottle, yeah.
And I asked him, what makes you think wine is cheap compared to whiskey? They're like, no, whiskey is more refined, you know. I was like, wine is also more refined. I mean,
there's a whole entire world.
Exactly. We can debate about that also.
Yeah.
So he said, no. I just thought, you know, wine is just, you know, it's a cheap drink, very basic. You should be drinking something expensive.
Yeah.
And people forget wine is also expensive. Depends on, you know.
I mean, yeah. There's wine for all different price points.
Exactly.
And for all different occasions.
Yes. It's just like whiskey. There's cheap whiskey.
Exactly. The other day, I was at a place.
Yes.
And there was a bottle that was going for, was it 149,000 Kenya shillings?
Yep, they're there.
I mean, the bottle was even in a glass case.
Yes.
Because you don't want any accidents around it.
You don't want to take any chances of stealing it or breaking it.
Yeah.
So that depends on, you know, how you look at it and how well you appreciate wine. So some people come and, you know, that you see that misconception.
It changes
over time, and they're like, you know what, I actually think wine is, you know, it takes time for you to understand wine, but once you understand it and once you learn about it, you actually start appreciating it more. And I always feel so happy when I see that. When I see the community growing, you know, when you do an event and you see people showing up again and again and again and again, it's such a good feeling, because you know you feel like you're doing something right. And even seeing, like, even on Instagram, like, you see even people tagging you all the time, like, oh, you know, I tasted this wine at an event, and now this is my favorite wine, and, you know, everywhere I go, I want to buy this wine.
Yeah.
It's always a good feeling. Always a good feeling.
But what are some of the challenges? I'm sure there's some.
Wow. Yes. So many.
Yeah.
So many. So sometimes it's hard to satisfy, okay, you know. I don't know how to put this, but there are people who... Some people attend tastings, and they expect way too much, too much. So, you know, it clearly says it's a tasting.
Yeah.
And someone comes expecting to, you know, get high and, you know, leave that place crawling, you know, like they think it's gonna be like bottomless wine. And, you know, you're like, okay, you do realize it's a tasting. We are here to, you know, taste, learn.
Yeah, and appreciate it.
Yes.
It's not a drinking spree.
No, it's not a bottomless brunch or bottomless, you know, happy hour.
Yeah.
So sometimes people will complain like, oh no, you know, these things are too expensive and, you know, we're not getting value for money.
Yeah.
And, you know, like we said, wine is not cheap. As much as people say it's cheap, it's not cheap.
Yeah, true.
Because even if you're getting a bottle of like 2,000, 3,000, right? And you're giving 20 people in a room. So meaning you're using how many bottles? At the end of the day, maybe that person has paid like 3,500. You're giving them bite-ins. You're giving them, you know, the space, the ambience. You're doing, it's a lot of research. Sometimes you do a lot of research before you present anything.
Yeah.
Like,
it's curation.
Yes.
You've thought about it.
Yes.
You've researched. You've...
Yes. So, like, for me, if you come to my tastings, I usually write a lot of... I print out notes for people. You can take them home.
Okay.
So all that takes a lot of work in the background.
Yeah.
But some people will not see that. They just expect to come, show up, and, you know, they're getting, like, a full glass. You give them half or even, like, you know, like a third of a glass, which is, like, the standard tasting amount that are supposed to be served in a tasting.
Yeah.
And guys will complain like, oh no, this is too little. And you're like, okay, you know, you're going to have like 5 different wines. So at the end of the day, you're going to end up maybe taking a whole bottle on your own.
Yeah,
if you know, if you're going to measure it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest. That's the biggest.
Biggest challenge.
Yes, biggest like challenge.
And I think that comes from an ignorance perspective.
Yes, it does.
Because there's the right amount to even serve wine.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So you can't be filling a full glass to the brim. And
that's what some people want.
And there's science to it. For instance, what is the right amount to serve wine in a glass?
Yes. So I even posted it the other day. So yeah. Now for your red wine, you should always put it at least just about half.
Okay.
Or less, depending on the size of your glass. So yeah. If it's those wide glasses with a wide bowl,
yeah.
Just put it where the glass starts to widen.
Yeah. Just that leave part. It there.
So it's almost like half.
Yeah.
Towards the half mark. So you do that. That helps with the swirling.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're swirling your wine, you don't want it to spill.
Yes. So that's with regards to red wine, right?
Yes.
So just serve not...
slightly below the half point.
Okay.
Yes.
And give it room for you to be able to swirl.
Yes.
And
for the ingression of oxygen. So
yeah.
At least it aerates.
Yeah.
Yes. Because, you know, with red wine, you need it to open up.
Yeah.
To open up the flavors and the aromas. If you serve it without... That's why we decant wine.
Yeah.
That's why we decant red wine. Most people say they hate red wine, but it's because most people don't know how to serve red wine.
Mm.
So if you drink red wine straight from a bottle...
It's without
decanting,
be...
especially for an older bottle,
yeah,
it's really gonna put you off.
Yeah,
but you've noticed if you drink the first glass, it's usually off. By the time you're drinking the second and the third, the wine tastes so good, and you're like, oh, it's because you've given it time to open up.
Yeah,
so that's ideally why we air it.
Yeah,
but I know sometimes people are so eager to drink, they don't wanna give it that time. So also, there's a trick you can use. You can use a blender.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
Yes.
Yeah.
But so long as your blender, you don't put chili and garlic.
I know, and then
it's gonna alter the.
Or other things that are going to make the wine taste.
Yes. So weird. Unless you have a dedicated blender for maybe only your fruits only, but not
and so
not
the airing, how long are you leaving it?
So ideally like 30 minutes
okay.
minimum.
Ooh, it's a long time to wait for.
I know. So I always tell people like when you get home and you really know you know you're going to have a red wine that night.
Just open it in
advance. Open
it,
go take a shower. By the time you're done, it will have aerated enough. Yes.
Okay.
You can even use a normal jug.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, and just like move it around.
Yes. You don't have to have a proper decanter because I know decanters are expensive.
Yeah.
So you can use a jug. Just make sure it has enough room for you to
move it around.
Yeah, to shake it.
Ah, nice.
Yes.
Okay. That's a nice tip.
Yes. So now then, for white wines, so for white wine, we serve at least like a third.
Okay.
Because the trick with white wine is you don't want to serve a lot. You're going to run the risk of drinking it warm. Because the longer it stays in the glass, the warmer it gets.
I see.
So you want to have it as chilled as possible. So just serve a little that you can drink, you know, at your own pace.
Before the temperature changes.
Before the temperature changes, yes.
I see.
Yeah. So then with bubbly.
Yeah, okay.
When you're using a flute. Don't fill it up. I know most people fill up their flute. You
as
can do just either half or slightly above half.
Okay.
So like 3/4.
So yes. Again for.
So for bubbly, so you need a long glass.
Like a stem.
Yes, long and narrow,
mm-hmm.
because it traps in the bubbles and keeps the effervescence going longer.
Yes. I see.
So you want the bubbles to be there even by the time you're taking the last sip.
So that
if you use a wider glass,
mm-hmm.
the bubbles will. You see, like what we are taking now, you can tell the bubbles
are. Enough.
Yes.
Yeah.
They escape because the glass is too wide.
Mm.
Yes. That's why we use flutes for sparkling wine.
Okay.
Yes.
Wow. I mean, there's a whole science.
Yes,
to everything.
There is. Oh. Anyways, you know, wine is. I won't lie, wine is a bit complicated,
mm-hmm.
but we can also make it a bit easier.
Yeah.
Just, you know, these small tips help you enjoy wine. And,
better.
You know, ultimately, you get a better experience if you do the right thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, I mean, there's a whole science as to why those things exist.
Yes.
And
yes.
why people have arrived at, for a red wine, this is the glass.
This glass.
For white wine, this is the glass.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, and this... would not be Books and Wine, the podcast, without us talking a little bit about books.
I feel like I'm in heaven right now.
Yay.
Book heaven.
So for context for the listener, we are recording this at Somanami Books, which is a bookstore in Nairobi, the only bookstore that you need to know about in Nairobi. It's a Pan-African bookstore. Yes. It's also a very intentionally curated space.
Very colorful.
And yeah, very colorful, very gorgeous,
yes,
with a very wide range of books for, yeah, for every reader,
for the African,
every
ages. Even for the African reader,
yeah,
basically.
Yes. We've centered, wait, why am I saying we? So Manami has,
yes.
Well, that's my day job, so that's why I'm saying we. We've centered the reader who wants to explore their heritage and... Yeah,
I feel like from the moment I walked in here, you can see a lot of African authors, which is not the case with other bookshops.
Yeah,
I don't mean to trash anyone, but
I mean they're facts.
Yeah, but here you find, that's what I'm saying, like it's more for the African reader.
Yeah,
because you get a lot of African authors. Some of them, I'm very shocked. I'm like, wow, I didn't know we had all these.
I know
all these authors. You know, you go to other bookshops and it's always like very. Foreign, you know.
It's true. And I've always been of the conviction that if you're in Africa, you should see more of yourself.
Yes, you should.
In the stories that you read, in the media that you consume.
Yes.
And that's not always the case.
No, it's not. It's not. Like, for example, like, something like that. My daughter is she's an avid reader.
Yeah.
And like I was telling you yesterday, like she's read all the, like the Wimpy Kids, and she started taking my Sophie Kinsella's.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would also like her, you know, I would want her to explore African readers. You know, start them from a young age.
Yeah.
So I only got one book. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the name. So it's by an African reader. It's about, you know, the girl child.
Yeah.
And she's read it, I think, like 3 or 4 times. She keeps reading it.
Because, I mean, it's probably the only book that she has that...
Yeah, I think, you know, she can relate to it. Mm-hmm. And the fact that, you know, even the cover shows like a black girl and all that. And I feel like I would want to explore more African authors for her. I feel like it's good for an African child to grow up knowing...
That their stories matter and that they belong in books.
Yes.
Because sometimes, even us, like, or rather myself, how... The kind of stories I grew up reading, the Sweet Valley Highs, the Sweet Valley Teens.
Yes.
Like, you know about snow, you know about Times Square, you know about all this.
It's thing, very white, this, very...
And very foreign. And then the minute you see a character eating ugali, you know, it feels like such a validation of, you mean?
Because when a kid reads about snow, and you know you're in Kenya, there's no snow here. I mean...
Yeah.
Food, even when they read, like, even like those kid books and the curriculum they're reading, like, you know, kids are doing this, and you know, you come back here and it's not the same here.
It's true.
So they're
it's
like, oh, true. Why is this
or
kid?
Or summer break, or all those, you know, unless you're in a different curriculum.
Yes.
But those things feel very foreign.
But see, that's for a very small small group of people locally. Mm-hmm. Most of the guys here, it's, you know, it's the normal things, the normal Kenyan thing, you know, the normal 844 curriculum, the normal. The foods and everything, there's no snow.
There's no snow.
They don't know summer break.
It's true. And you're unlikely to, like, take the train on a normal day, you know, like, on a normal commute.
Yes.
So,
yeah, for them now, it's like, okay, you know, they're taking trains every other day, they're taking buses. You know, kids are like, oh, okay. Unless
I
know, it's just the other day that SGR came and they're like, okay, you don't take trains every day.
And it's a special occasion because you're going somewhere.
Yes.
You know, you're not going to Mombasa every other day.
Yeah.
So but yourself, like, what are some of the books that have maybe impacted you, that have left a mark in you, or that you're currently reading?
Oh gosh.
So what kind of a reader would you classify yourself as?
I'm not an avid reader. I buy a lot of books.
Okay.
Which is, it's a very bad habit.
So you're more of a book collector than a book reader.
I buy a lot.
Which is fine.
But it takes me a long time to finish reading them. Because I can take a book and it will take me a while. You know, I see some people take a book and they finish in like a day or two. For me, I think I'm those people, I like reading slowly and absorb.
No, and that's okay.
And absorb everything.
Imagine that's okay.
Yes.
No, don't have to make apologies for it. I'm also not the kind of person that... can read a book in 1 day or 2 days or even 3 days. Yes. Unless that book is very small.
Yes.
I mean, because there is life to live, right?
Yes, there is.
yeah, there are other things to do.
Yes, there are.
And also, I'm not even a fast reader like that.
Oh, yeah. I'm a fast reader, but mm-hmm. I prefer to read something slowly. Because I feel like if I'm skimming through, I'm not getting the whole... Because mm-hmm. most of the books I like reading are mostly like inspirational books.
Yeah.
Okay, and also a lot of fictional books.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I feel like if I'm skimming through, then I'm not really getting the... I mean, if I've paid for something...
Yeah.
What is the value? I milk every value out of it.
I hear you. Yes, I completely get
you.
Yes,
yes.
I'm also of the opinion that, you know, some books should be read over time.
Yes, they should.
Like,
they
really if you're should. Reading a book to transform you or to do some self-development...
Yes.
You won't do that in a week.
No, you can't.
You won't make... changes your life in a week.
Yes.
So if you do that, I mean, if you read cover to cover and put it aside, like, what are you even doing?
No,
there's some books that I've even read like over a year because want to feel like, okay, did I
grasp the whole concept?
And also, how am I applying?
Yes.
How am I changing? How am I changing how I think or what I do?
Yes.
Yeah. So
there's a book I bought yesterday. It's called Unfuck Yourself.
Yeah.
So it's about how, you know, how we limit ourselves with our thoughts and our, like, literally we set limitations for ourselves because either there's a lot of self-doubt and fear.
And negative self-talk.
Yes, a negative self-talk. So the book said, so remember the first pages, the writer says, if you're the kind of person who reads a book in hours or a day, just don't
put
waste
this
your
aside.
Time. So he even said they are gifts. Just do yourself a favor and gift this book to someone because...
This is not the book for you. Put it aside.
Yeah, just gift it to someone because this is not the book for you. It can't work.
Okay.
So he said, like, this book needs you to read, even if it's a page a day or a chapter a day, make sure you're grasping every little concept and applying it in your life.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a good philosophy. Yeah. And I think it's also a nice philosophy to use in wine. Take small sips, like, savor the...
You have to savor every drop. Yeah. No, some people, I've been, you know, like, when I'm doing my testing, then you see some people take, you know, like, you serve them, like, this amount.
Yeah.
And someone will take it in, like, a sip or two. And, you know, you're looking at that person, and you're like, okay, you've already finished you.
It's in your stomach. Did you experience it? No.
What do you think about the wine? Did you even get the aromas, the flavors, all those things? And it's like, no. And I always say wine is one of those things. It's the little pleasures of life.
Yeah.
It's something that you should enjoy.
Yeah.
Savor.
Yeah.
Live in that moment at that point.
Yeah.
Don't drink it just to finish.
It's true.
Yes. I know. Okay. Sometimes people just want to get drunk and be done with it. But
I think there are drinks that can get you there faster.
Exactly.
So
you're not wine.
Just take some tequila.
Because like there are people who take
tequila.
Yeah, because there are people who like take wine to get high, and they're like, okay, this thing is not getting me high. How many bottles do I need of this to get high? And I'm like, you don't drink wine too. If your end goal is to get hammered.
Yeah.
It just might not.
In the wrong drink. In the wrong drink aisle.
Yes, yes.
And before we let you go,
okay.
Do you have any parting wisdom? How can people find you? How can people... Yeah?
Cut.
Yes, so how can people find you? What is the future for Women Who Wine? Any other little wisdom that you want to leave us with?
My parting shot is...
Lastly, before we let you go,
okay.
Do you have any parting wisdom for us, for our listeners? Where can people find you? Do you have, you know, anything you want to share with us? What's the future for Women Who Wine? And yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to say wine... wine is a healthy drink, so if you're looking for something healthy to consume while still enjoying life and, you know, feeling good about yourself, go for wine. Wine is a good it's a good option. And always carry a corkscrew when you always show up.
Yes, that's advice that I live by, and I think in my handbag I always have a corkscrew.
Yes,
but for me it's because of the many incidences that I've tried to open a bottle with the wrong things.
Oh, yes.
You know, Lagos.
Mm. A shoe. Yeah, you find yourself somewhere and no one has something. No one has something to open. Yeah, and always, you know how they say, it's like a magnet. Mm. Every time you carry a corkscrew, trust me, there's always going to be wine somewhere.
It's going to find you.
Yeah, so always carry, you know, the one thing you never leave at
in
home.
In your handbag, yeah.
Always have it in your handbag, like your lipstick. Carry your corkscrew.
Yay.
Yes, yes. So now, but as much as you say, drink your wine, and I always tell people this every time we do a testing or an event.
Yeah.
Also, it's still alcohol. People say wine is not, wine doesn't get you high, wine doesn't get you drunk like other drinks. It's still alcohol.
Yeah.
So drink responsibly.
Yes. Hydrate.
Yes. And read your books.
hydrate.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And, you know, wine is one of those things you can really enjoy as you read your books.
Yeah.
So if you're a book lover, you might end up loving wine a lot at the same time. It's one of those, you know, the two pleasures of life, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so drink responsibly. Remember to always hydrate. People say, you know, you always get a headache after drinking wine.
Drink
it's because you're not drinking water.
It's true.
You're not drinking water. And some people say, oh, why am I drinking water? It's a counter. You know, it's a counter reaction. Like, I'm not going to get high if I'm, you know, like, I'm having a glass of water after every glass of wine. Then what's the point?
But, I mean, both are ending up in your system. So I don't know. You're not diluting
and
anything.
People forget, when you're taking like whiskey and you take water, I mean,
you're not diluting anything.
You're not diluting anything.
Math is not mathing.
Yeah, it's not mathing at all. And always make sure, don't drink on an empty stomach if possible. Make sure you eat. People treat wine like it's not alcohol. Wine is alcohol.
It's true. And most wines are over 10%.
Yes. Yes. So, you find a wine that is like 14.5%. That's lethal.
Yeah, true.
It's lethal. And you see people forget wine, you're not diluting with water, like, you know, like other drinks.
Yeah, so
you're taking it as it is.
Yeah. Ideally, you shouldn't. But yes. I've seen people do funny interesting things.
Mm. Okay, you can make cocktails with your wine.
Yeah.
But you need to know how to do it.
Mm-mm.
Don't just, you know, I see people taking Coca-Cola and red wine,
please.
Sprite and white wine. And I'm like, oh my God, that's disrespecting. You're disrespecting wine. Yeah. Please don't do that. Yeah. So
and how can people find you?
So you can find me on social media, Women Who Wine,
mm-hmm.
_KE.
Okay. So how can people find you?
Okay, so I'm on Instagram as Women Who Wine, mm-hmm. _KE. So just recently started working on my website, which is going to be ready. So I'm going to get back to blogging. I love writing. Yeah, so be prepared for a lot of information about wine. Because I feel when I write things on Instagram, Instagram doesn't allow you to write whole composition.
I know, there's a character limit.
Yes, and sometimes I get carried away and I'm just writing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I want it to be...
Information.
Yes. So it's going to be on a blog, which is easily, you know, you can easily find everything, any information you need instead of scrolling Instagram.
Yeah.
Yes. Then we're also going to be updating all the events there, our calendar of events, anything we are doing, anything coming up, it's going to be there.
Yeah.
Yes. And I'm also hoping to get back on YouTube.
Yay.
So I'm on YouTube as Wine with Rehab, but I have been slacking.
No, it's fine. It's always nice to take life at its rhythm.
Yes.
You know?
So, but I'm hoping to bring it back soon, very soon.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you so much for gracing Books and Wine, the podcast.
And I also make wine scented candles.
Oh,
yes,
nice.
Yes, I make wine scented candles. So the handle is Unwind by Rehab.
Yeah.
Yes. So
as in unwind.
Yes, it's like unwind. So it's like a word play for unwind.
Yeah.
So it's Unwind by Rehab. So I make really. So if you love whatever wine you love, if you love a Cabernet Sauvignon, there's a Cabernet Sauvignon candle. If you love your sparkling wine, there's a what is it called? There's a champagne candle.
Nice.
Yes. Anything you like. Anything you like. It's available. And I also do something called the Wine Fair. So it's like a wine festival.
Yes.
So we've done two events so far last year. This year we are doing one at the end of August.
Okay.
So we're going to be updating that on social media also.
Nice.
So if you're looking for something fun to do in August.
Yeah.
That's
all
it.
All things wine.
Yes.
Candles.
All things wine.
Fair,
yes.
Events.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
And hopefully Books and Wine will be there.
Yes. We must.
Yes, we need you there.
We've tried to come in the last one.
Yes.
But then, you know, I think I traveled around that time.
Yeah, I remember.
But that's life.
Yes.
Things happen when they need to happen.
Yeah, they do. You trust the process, trust the timing, the universe. The universe is never wrong.
Yeah.
Yes.
For instance, this particular interview just happened when it didn't.
Yes.
And I'm so glad we finally got to do this.
Thank you.
So that's it. Listeners, so if yes. you have taken anything, I'm sure you've left with a lot of gems. But I think the one I would like to emphasize the most is, like, have fun with wine.
Oh yes.
Have fun
yes.
with wine.
Don't make it so complicated.
It shouldn't be complicated.
Yeah.
Savor the moments.
And don't be intimidated, because I know people get intimidated by wine.
Yeah. Just savor the moments. relax into it, lean into
yes.
it.
Yes. And experiment.
And experiment.
Don't always, I know people stick to a certain brand or certain grape.
Yeah.
There are so many to explore. So drink as much as you can. Don't be shy.
Drink widely.
Yes.
Drink widely and drink wisely.
Oh, responsibly. Yes.
I think we're going to put that in the t-shirt. Yeah. Drink widely, but drink wisely.
Wisely, yes.
Awesome. See you on the next episode. And in the meantime, you can find us on social media, Books and Wine KE, on TikTok, Books and Wine KE again on Twitter and on Instagram, Books and Wine KE. And we have an exciting thing coming up, which is a Books and Wine retreat in August.
Oh, nice.
You can find all that information on the website and the link in bio on all our social media pages. And I hope to see you then. Bye.